World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you know, I'm a little bit behind the eight ball today. I should have put on my army crew gear this morning. I wasn't thinking. So I should have had on my camouflage shirt because we're at war, boys and girls. We are at war. And what was it? Was it Benjamin Franklin? No, I got him wrong. Give me liberty or give me death. That's Patrick Henry, wasn't it? It's Patrick Henry when he at the Continental Congress in his give me liberty or give me death speech. He says, the sounds of war are already gone. It's already gone. We just don't understand it. And, you know, those of us who carry the name of Christ, we talk a lot about a spiritual war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Evil spirits in high places, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. But can I tell you what? We don't even know what that looks like in the church. Folks, we don't even understand that in the church that the spiritual war manifests in the natural realm. We're more at war than we have ever been for Christianity, in my opinion. And I don't want to get into your theology and my theology and you know, when this is all going to end and all that stuff, because right now, right before us, there's a war raging. And Pastor Tony Spell, I'm going to get Pastor Tony in here in a second. And I'm giving all of you a chance right now to email, text somebody, say, man, tune in, catch Pastor Tony. Because see, this war, I was amazed when I, to find out that a lot of the people around the country, guys who I would call frontline warriors, are not even aware that this trial's gone on. In fact, Pastor Tony, I did a lot of research last week, did some this morning. I'm trying to find any news releases or anything like that about the fact that you're going to be in federal court. I couldn't find anything. There isn't anything out there alerting the people to exactly what's going on. And here's what's going on, folks. Pastor Tony Spell, who refused to close down his church. By the way, this isn't some little 5 and 10 people church on the corner. This is a guy who's very, very influential in his community. Took a stand, said, we're not going to shut down. We don't bow our knee to government here. And, boy, they've been after him. They're after him hard, right? I'm getting a little bit distracted because the web guy's working on my screen here trying to get me all straightened up. That's okay, Spence. I'm not mad at you. But it is distracting me a little bit. I want to just before I pull Pastor Tony in here, Pastor Tony, because again, I'm giving you time to text or email somebody. Folks, this is what? This is Lexington Green. This is the shot heard around the world in religious liberty. We are actually in the courtroom. Good news is, if they follow the Constitution, it's a slam dunk victory for Pastor Tony Spell. But we can't even trust that anymore, can we, friends? Huh? Back when I was coaching, we call that a hometown referee. You may have the best team, but if you go into a game and they got hometown referees, boy, you're in for the fight of your life. So Pastor Tony's case has been remanded to federal court in New Orleans, Louisiana, and we're all going to be down there. I got it up on the screen right now, Pastor Tony. Just bear with us here a second.
Yep.
We're gonna have a bunch of us down there. Folks, it's up on the screen right now. The hotel room out there by where Pastor Dale has set us up, that hotel's booked. We can find more places for you if you need to. This is critical for us to show up. We're having rallies. Now, the rallies that we're having, I want people to understand this, that Pastor Dale and the crews worked hard putting meals together. But the meals, they're not for the general public, okay? If 1,000 of you show up, we're not going to be able to feed 1,000 of you, okay? But those of us, those who are connected with us through Coach Dave Live and through the huddle, We have meals and everything. We're going to have fellowship together. We got God's A team. We got Alan Keyes, Dr. Alan Keyes, Flip Benham, Rusty Thomas, Dale Socia, Matt Truella, John Diamond. We got the A team folks coming down there to stand with Pastor Tony Spell. There ought to be a clarion call all across America to pastors and churches to wake up and get down there because the battle's raging. So up on the screen right now, you can see what's going on out of Pastor Dale's church, King Jesus Ministries, in some little town outside. I can't remember the name of that town out there, Dale. Doesn't matter.
Booty.
What's that? Booty. Booty. Only somebody down there in Louisiana would name a place Booty, but that's where it is, down there at Booty. And we're starting on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, having a big rally. And we're going to go out and we're going to stand for our God-given First Amendment right. Throw it up there real quick, Spencer. First Amendment of the Constitution. Hang on, Pastor Tony. I'm going to get you in here. I know you got up early and you dressed up for us. God bless you. Folks, this either means something or it doesn't mean something, all right? It either means something or it doesn't mean something. I'll say it again real slow for some of you down there in Louisiana. These words either mean something or they don't mean something. And it says, Congress shall make no law. How many laws would that be, Bernie? How many laws is Congress able to make that they can make no law? Wait a minute. What about judges? Can judges make law? Hey, John Diamond, can judges make law? Does it say judges shall make no law? No, it doesn't say judges shall make no law because judges don't make law. Right? Does it say governors shall make no law? Does it say health departments shall make no law? Does it say any of that kind of stuff there? No, it doesn't say any of that, does it? It's pretty clear. Congress, who makes laws, shall make no law. Congress, who makes the laws, shall make no law. The baker who bakes cookies shall bake no cookies. The plumber who fixes plumbing shall fix no plumbing. You understand this, folks? You don't call a gravedigger to fix your plumbing. So Congress, who makes the law, shall make no law. Regarding the establishment of a religion, here's the key. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, unless there's a pandemic declared by the governor and Dr. Fauci and the health department. And then if there is such a crisis that occurs, then the First Amendment is canceled and some policy wonk in Louisiana can tell Pastor Tony Spell he has to close his church. Is that what it says? No, it's pretty clear, isn't it? Pretty clear. That's what we're talking about, folks. And I believe it is the cataclysmic battle of the ages. Started with Judge Roy Moore back in the Ten Commandments judge back in Montgomery, Alabama in 2003 when we were all down there. And it's circled back around and here we are 18 years later, 2021, trying to determine once again, is Jesus Lord over America or is the government? That's a battle, isn't it, Pastor Tony? Come on in. Isn't that the battle the way you see it, Pastor Tony?
That is the battle that is raging against us today. It's a battle of good against evil, light against darkness, and it's no longer a Republican-Democrat battle. What happened May 25th, last Monday, is our appeal for my first six arrests on March the 15th, which was a Tuesday night service of 2020, then a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night, on January 25th, and female Democrat Judge Ebony Johnson Rose said that the governor, John Bel Edwards, was completely within his rights to have me arrested and persecuted, booked into the East Baton Rouge Parish prison. So we appealed that to the Louisiana First Circuit Court of Appeals. Three Republican judges in their first line in my writ for denial of appeal, they said, we do not believe that the relator Pastor Spell's free exercise of religion lies outside of the government's jurisdiction of power.
No. Read that again there, Pastor Tony. Come on now.
They use the two words free exercise, just to let us know that they not only disregard the First Amendment, but these three Republican judges in the First Circuit Appeals Court, which would be the third highest court, second highest court in the state of Louisiana, they said, we do not believe. Well, number one, we don't care what you believe.
Amen, brother. Amen.
The devils also believe and tremble. We don't Amen. Care what you believe. Interpret the law accurately. They say, we do not believe that the relator Pastor Spell's free exercise of religion lies outside of the government's jurisdiction of power. They actually have the audacity to say that.
In other words, the First Amendment, according to them, is null and void. Is that what they're telling you, brother?
That's right. I think they know the First Amendment, but there is a Marxist socialist ideology that has invaded from hell itself into our judicial, executive, and legislative branches, not only in Louisiana, but across America. Can you imagine after they said that my free exercise of religion does not lie outside of government's jurisdiction of power, they quoted an 1878 Reynolds versus the United States of America polygamy case, comparing me to a polygamist. Okay, we want to go to church. We want to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we don't want you to get into our church because the jurisdiction of the government stops at the threshold of the door of our church.
Well, Pastor Tony, they're the ones who love to cry separation between church and state, right? They're the ones that came up with that mantra. And when you stand at the door and say, get the hell out of here, pardon my French, get out of here, they say, oh, no, we're going to jump over that First Amendment because that First Amendment doesn't apply to us in this case. And as a result of that, there is no religious liberty. That's what they want to tell you, isn't it, Pastor?
Yes, sir. On March 31, 2020, the chief of police and the assistant chief of police walked into my sanctuary where we were praying, read me my rights, arrested me. They came into the church house. These people are anti-God.
Amen.
They're anti-Semitic, but they're anti-Christian. They're ruling with Governor John Bel Edwards, who is a godless tyrant. William Penn said, men must either be governed by God or they will be ruled by tyrants. And the less America is being governed by God, the more of a tyrannical anti-God government we are becoming. We are living in Romans chapter 1.
Amen.
We are there. We have Amen. Personified Romans chapter 1. And while the church is defending Romans 13, trying to prop up Romans 13 as a civil government, which it is not, Romans 1 has crept in, and God is turning us over to what we want.
Amen.
Romans 1:24, God gave them up. God gave them up in Romans 1:26. And in Romans 1:28, God is giving them over. The last thing, Coach, that is holding back the judgments of God on America is men like you and the other people in this interview this morning. And I'm telling you, this is a do or die time for Christianity in America, for Amen. Freedom in America.
Amen, Amen, Brother Tony. Now, listen, let me take you, because I'm going to open it up, let these guys jump in here, because they're going to have some great questions. But let me take you back, Brother Tony, to when this whole thing broke loose, and you caught word, just like everybody else, that churches are non-essential, although you got to make the decision as to whether you were essential or not. They left that basically up to the pastor. And then people began to say, no, you're not allowed to have church services. Pastor, what went through your mind? This is a year and a half, this is 18 months ago almost now. What was going through your mind when you caught that word? Did you say, well, I probably ought to protect our parishioners here. You know, I want to be a good citizen here. What went through your mind? And when it went through your mind, Pastor Tony, did you have any idea what was coming down the road? You remember this, brother. I know you know this. I'm saying it to the listeners, to those who are watching. The Bible says, count the cost. Bible says no man begins building a house or building a tower, gets halfway through it and realizes it's more than he's willing to pay. Did you know at that moment, Brother Tony, when you said, we're not going to close down, did you count the cost then, brother?
Did Daniel, did it cross his mind that he should stop praying for 30 days? He opened his window eastward and screamed louder praying than he ever prayed. Should Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had bent their knees on the plains of Shinar? They were three stiff-legged boys on a weak-kneed plain. It never crossed their mind. They had convictions. In the book of Acts, they said, we are to obey God rather than man. And God said, do not forsake the assembling. In the Greek, that word is synagogue, and it means going to church of ourselves together.
Even more, as we see that day approaching.
As you see, not less.
Amen. So
it never crossed our mind. Did we know that we would be arrested 33 times, booked into the prison, constantly surveilled? There are 6 federal cameras on my home right now. We're trailed and followed. I still am not allowed to go out of the state of Louisiana to see my grandchildren, to speak at conferences. I'm not allowed to go to people's funerals that I've known my entire life. The ankle bracelet has been removed from my right leg, but I still don't have the ability to freely travel.
Pastor
like
Terry,
I did.
Come on now, let's go back here a second. You're telling me that they came to your church and into your home and they put an ankle bracelet on you simply holding church?
Wow.
Yes, sir. They would not allow me to leave the front door or the rear door of my residence. Of course, 72 hours after that, the men in my church came to me, brought me from the front door of my home to my pulpit. And we did that for the entire time. I would leave my home to go to my pulpit and preach. I wouldn't leave for any other reason.
And the men of your church, your men of your church came and escorted you to the church.
That's exactly right.
My goodness. Did the cops ever try to stop you, Pastor?
They were on my parking lot. They were surrounded at my church. They were ready to make the move. The judge, Fred T. Kerfassi, wanted me behind bars. But they knew it was not going to bode well for them because my entire church stood with me. Hundreds and even and thousands of people, 25 different nationalities, 32 different buses that we run across the city every Sunday, bringing people into the house of God. And yet we're treated like criminals. The only criminals in this case is Governor John Bel Edwards, who has destroyed our state. He has wrecked our economy. 40% of the churches in Louisiana will never reopen again.
Amen.
60% of the small businesses in our city will never reopen again. Their doors are shuttered.
Pastor Tony, I got to ask this, and it's probably not a comfortable question at all. What's been the reaction of your Christian brethren, fellow pastors there in the Baton Rouge area, brother?
It's not pretty at all. Not only have they not stood with me, they have stood against us. They have stood against us. One preacher this past Sunday morning said, had you have just complied, you wouldn't be in this mess today.
Wow.
Comply? Should the patriot that conquered bridge and refused to fire the shot heard round?
Oh, man. Pastor Tony, hang on here, man, because they want to get in here. Question, brother. So are you really, really right now facing 18 years in jail?
That's what they tell me for charges I can't even pronounce. 9 different crimes. 9 crimes.
None of them actually, maybe they are, they're probably twisting it, being a law, right? The governor's edict is not a law. A health department's mandate is not a law, right?
It isn't.
The right for you to freely exercise your faith is a law, right? It is a law. It's written down. We can all read it.
So
it seems not to matter.
So yesterday at church, Sunday at church, I said, you can expect this from a Democratic judge to make Marxist, socialistic, and communistic rulings. But three Republican judges, and I called them by name, Mitch Terrio, Elizabeth Wolf, and Chris Hester. These people, they don't make good Republicans. I mean, what do you get when you mix Democrats and Republicans, donkeys and elephants? You get a zoo.
You do.
It's a zoo they're running. So last night at 9 p.m., my local representation attorney, Jeff Wittenbrink, calls me and says, we have a status conference at 9 a.m. tomorrow morning, this morning. You can't just pull up a status conference. And the reason they're doing it is because I'm calling them out.
Amen.
I'm calling them godless. I'm calling them socialists. I'm calling them anti-American, anti-God, because, brother, that's what they are.
It is, brother. It is. Hiding behind that law, right, brother? Hey, folks, listen, real quickly, Jared, or Spencer, I'm sorry, pull up the email. It says imprecatory prayers. Pastor Tony, I don't know if you know this or not. One of our guys, Craig, found the names of the judges that you're going to be before. Folks, we're going to throw that up on the screen. And we would ask that you begin to pray imprecatory psalms over these judges. It's going to be up on the screen here in a second. I may have to do something over here. I'm all mad. Help me out here, Spencer. I can't get it up on my own screen. And folks, is it up there yet, Spence? Is it up there, folks? And if you can see, folks, the judges, says right there it is, before judges Jacques Wiener Jr., Jennifer Walker Elrod, and Stephen A. Higginson. Folks, I'd ask you right now that you begin to pray for Judge Jacques L. Wiener Jr., Jennifer Walker Elrod, and Stephen A. Higgins. Hey, folks, this is war!
It is.
We're war, folks!
Amen.
Don't just pass this off. Begin to do this. We talk about prayer. All prayer changes things. God's in control, brothers. This predestined. It was predestined for Pastor Tony. Hey, weapons of our warfare. Get out the weapons of our warfare and begin to unleash the sword of the Spirit towards Judge Jacques L. Wiener Jr., Jennifer Walker Elrod, and Stephen A. Higginson. Because, Pastor Tony, if there's any truth in the world at all, they cannot rule against you, brother. They cannot. But we understand how nefarious this is. I'm an old coach. I know what it's like to play on hometown referee's turf, brother. This is hometown referee turf. This is John Bell Edwards turf. And ultimately, that's when it gets right down to it, Pastor Tony. By the way, folks, Judge Roy Moore is his attorney. Can you believe that? We were down there with Judge Roy Moore in 2003, and we have circled back around. Pastor Tony, when it gets right down to it, when you go into that courtroom, what's the argument? What is the argument your attorneys are going to have to make?
Congress shall make no law.
That's pretty simple.
Who do you think you are to tell us we can and cannot worship and when and where we can or cannot worship?
That's the argument. That's the argument, right?
It is. And biblically, the Constitution didn't give us our rights to go to church. The Constitution protects my rights to go to church.
Amen. Congress shall make no law.
My right to go to church is endowed to me by my Creator.
This is so simple, folks.
The judicial branch is not my Creator. Amen. Governor John Bell Edwards is not our Creator.
In fact, he works for you, in fact, Tony. He works for you.
He does. We tell him what we're going to do. This republic is a government by the people, for the people, to the government, not vice versa. The bottom line is, if they don't rule in our favor, the Constitution and the First Amendment is null and void.
It is.
Rip it up and throw it in the garbage because it means nothing. Don't tell me we have a First Amendment whenever they have done to us what they have done for the past 16 months.
Well, you know, Pastor Tony, I don't know, you certainly don't know my history. I'm not here to pat myself on the back. I got launched into ministry because in 1997, I was sued by the American Civil Liberties Union for having prayer with our football teams, 1997. Now, Pastor Tony, as you read that First Amendment, Jared, can you throw that back up there a minute? Spencer, I'm sorry, buddy. Hey, Pastor Tony, can you find in there where, and anywhere in that first, can anybody help us out here? Anywhere in that First Amendment, anybody show me where it says a coach can't pray with his football team? Can anybody find that for me? Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So if I say, I want to pray, I'd like to pray. Anybody want to pray with me on this football team? Can folk, and they see, they twist it and they, and this is what I tried to warn them, Pastor Tony. I tried to warn them in 1997. This is where it's heading. That's how I ended up in Montgomery, Alabama in 2003. Said, this is where it's heading. You let them take the Ten Commandments out. This is where it's heading. Right. You let them shut down and throw Tony Spell in jail. This is where it's heading. I got to shut up and get some folks in there. Come on in.
Give them an inch, they take them out.
Coach, can you come in and give this scripture real quick? I know I'm probably butting to the head of the line, but I think it's very prophetic. You know, Tony was just talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I had the opportunity to talk to Tony last time and tell him about Pharaoh and Moses and saying not one hoof. But listen to this, Tony. Remember, it was Nebuchadnezzar who made that gold, that big image of himself. It was Nebuchadnezzar who made the decree, you must bow down and worship. But this right here, this passage is in so contrary of Romans 13 that, you know, that people want to spew out there that you must obey the government. Nebuchadnezzar, in his own words, in Daniel chapter 3, verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar responds and say, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angels to rescue his servant, who put their trust in him, God, violating the king's command and surrendering their bodies rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Brother, there, let me tell you what, that was the word of Nebuchadnezzar after Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown into the fire, brother. That is prophetic.
It is prophetic. It's crazy. For too long, we have denied Jesus Christ as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, over all government. We've denied it and we've subverted him and placed him down a level below the government. That's what the battle is. John Diamond, come on in. Dr. John Diamond, you'll get to meet him, Pastor Tony. He was with us in Montgomery back in 2003, and John's written several books regarding the battle that you're heading into. Come on in, John.
Yeah, just real quick, two things. Yesterday at church, I read Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5, where they were told that they couldn't preach the name of Christ, and they were arrested and thrown in jail. And I said, can you imagine the Jerusalem Times headline article of that day? Discredited followers of Christ claim they have religious freedom to preach Christ in the temple. And the federal courts rejected that claim. Well, it didn't matter, because they went up in the upper room and they began praying imprecatory prayers, and then they went right back down and did it all over again. So two things, Tony, we need to get you on Alan Keyes' show. I'm bringing Alan Keyes down. We need to get you on Alan Keyes' show sometime this week, and Judge Roy Moore. They got up to 2 million followers right now.
Tony, we're trying to raise an army. We're bringing some down, but we're trying to raise an army. Our calls out to people all across America, come and join us. Go ahead, John. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I just want to say, just get with me sometime today or this week, and let's get you some wide media coverage. I'm probably bringing the Epoch Times with me, Phillips. Josh Phillips. So I've got a lot of alternative media contacts. We need to get this out across the nation. This is a defining moment for this nation. And I thank God that you're willing to take the bullets and the arrows of the enemy for us.
You know what happened, though, Pastor? I'm sorry, Pastor. Go ahead, Pastor Tony. I'll shut up. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. I'll be glad to get with you today. Be honored to do that.
All right, I'll connect the two of you, John. Get a hold of me. I'll get you his contact information. See, Pastor Tony, here's one of the places we screwed up, in my opinion. Excuse me. We watched them literally do everything they could to destroy Judge Roy Moore. We watched it 2003, and then he ran for governor. And then he was reelected Supreme Court chief. Then they actually threw him out of his position as duly elected Supreme Court Chief Justice, state of Alabama. And they watched him, threw him out. And then he ran for senator. We watched them lie and lie and lie and lie about him. They hate that man because why? Because he's of the same ilk, brother.
Right.
He's not going to bow his knee to some type of false god. Not going to do it, brother. Right. So we've been here before. And the mistake that we made is there was no – see, when the Supreme Court got rid of Judge Roy Moore, we just all went back and said, oh, isn't that too bad? Isn't that sad? We didn't raise up a resistance to it. But God's doing a new thing, Pastor Tony, doing a new thing.
Resist. Brother,
that's right. You don't even know the vortex you're in the middle of, brothers. But stay faithful. Rochelle, come on in.
Good morning. Thanks for coming on here, Mr. Spell. Thanks for fighting for the whole church right now with what you're
Amen.
Doing. Being that there's been so much damage done to you and the church, have you considered bringing your own lawsuit against these governing powers for operating under the color of law and arresting you under false pretenses?
By the way, let me stop right there, Tony, before you answer. Folks, this is what it's about. See, this is the dilemma that these three judges face. If they rule in Pastor Tony Spell's favor, which they have to, Rochelle, they have to. Do you understand the litigation they open up all across America for others? So that's, see, this ain't about Pastor Tony Spell, folks. This isn't what it's about, see. If they rule that Tony Spell had the right to stay open, do you understand the consequences of that decision? That's why this is so huge. Go ahead, Tony. Go ahead.
Yes. Our statute of limitations ended March 31, 2021 from the first arrest. So we had to file suit that day. We filed suit against Governor John Bel Edwards. We filed suit against Judge Fred Teeker Fassie, who had me booked into the prison, monitored with the ankle monitor and what have you. Mayor Sharon Weston Broome, Mayor of Baton Rouge, Mayor David Barra, Mayor of City of Central, where my church is, Sheriff Sid Gautreaux, and Chief Roger Corcoran, the Chief of Police. Against those six individuals, we filed suit. So that suit is filed, and it's still in the process of unfolding right now. But we are in there. We're not going to take this lying down. Eight people in our church were terminated from their jobs for being seen coming through the doors of our building.
Folks, do you understand this? I'm going to say it again because I'm not sure y'all get it. If Pastor Tony Spell wins in federal court, the consequences of that decision is going to sweep across this nation because the court will have ruled that the elected officials or even unelected officials have no right to violate the individual rights of American citizens. That's what it's about, isn't it, Tony?
It's freedom of religion. Can you imagine Keith Myers, a man going to the paper mill at Georgia Pacific and his boss sitting him down at his desk and saying, if you go back to that church one more time, do not come back to this job. They terminated him.
Oh, my Lord.
Mr. Helen Duncan, a manager at a Salvation Army. They said, if you go back to that church one more time, because the news cameras were crawling on our front lawn, you know, like ants. So they know everybody that's coming in and leaving. If you go back, we're going to terminate you. Of course, she came back and she was terminated and on and on and on. A lady by the name of Crystal New. A lady by the name of Mary Davis. So we are going to make the government pay for what they did to these
Amen.
People. These
Amen.
People lost cars, homes, livelihoods.
Amen. I'm with you. Folks, again, do you understand the significance of it? Do you understand the importance now of your prayers for those judges? Do you understand the political pressure behind the scenes on those judges to make sure that they grant government authority that it does not have? Come on, tell me you see this. Tell me that you understand the spiritual war that is raging right before us. And none of us know. As Pastor Tony said, Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter, folks, huh?
No,
if you don't if you don't think there's pressure being applied behind the scenes, you're not awake. Come on in. Come on in, Clay.
Good morning.
Good morning, Clay.
I tell you what, I believe that the greatest, most bravest Americans in this United States, I believe that they, the majority of them, the great majority of them, believe in Christ, and they believe that the Constitution of these United States is still valid.
Amen.
And so my message is to the law enforcement officers right now. We go and we support law enforcement. We hold up back the blue signs. We go to the rallies. But I just want to say this to law enforcement. If your master that you're serving is asking you to enforce an unconstitutional law, you might want to look at this path that you're going down and see if you want to be on the wrong side from the greatest, most patriotic Americans in these United States.
Amen.
Because we're not going to support those law enforcement officers. You're going to have to make a decision. Do I do my job or do I do what's right?
And that's so what it comes down to, Clay and Pastor Tony, what we're dealing with is one of our friends, Larry, who I'm going to bring in here in a minute, calls most of the churches just satanic social clubs anyway. So we just want to make sure that the real church, the real church of Christ, the real one, arises and shines at this moment. Come on in, Larry.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, Pastor Spell. You know, this my case with my home was a microcosm of what you just said, Coach. There was no way on earth the appeals court in South Carolina could rule against my appeal if they read the South Carolina law. So what did they do? They found a technicality to not even look at the case. And we have to be prepared for this to happen to Pastor Spell, too, don't we, Roger?
Oh, yeah, we have to. We're prepared for it. The question we have to be asking ourselves is, I hate to ask it, what are we going to do if they rule against him? Come and visit him in jail? Is that what we're going to do? Huh?
Hey, it's time for black robes and rifles at some point if things don't change.
Nobody wants to say that, Larry. The other side's using black robes and rifles, aren't they? They're using them. Come on in, Jeff.
Yeah, good morning there, Mr. Spell. I'd like to say three things. People want to get my gun, they get their guns and shoot me. That's the persecution you need to go through, okay? I'm going to quote here H.H. Jr. Herlong, Jr., excuse me, here. He gave a speech there in House of Representatives. There's two things here. It says, capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. Done. 16, use technical decisions of the courts to weaken basic American institutions. There you go. This
Boom!
Is what you're experiencing.
That's what's going on. Pastor Another, Tony, I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm trying to be the ringmaster here, keep everybody moving, and at the same time, give you everybody an opportunity to speak,
you know,
ask a question, and Pastor Tony a chance to respond. Go ahead, Tony.
So what's happening whenever Tony Perkins and Sheriff Sid Gotro, the sheriff of East Baton Rouge, came to my church. I invited them into the building last year.
Tony Perkins. Family Research Council.
He would not step foot over the threshold of the door of my church because it was contaminated with the virus. And the sheriff who had me arrested and booked into his prison. And listen, these are not law abiding sheriffs.
That's right.
They are law-breaking sheriffs.
Amen, brother.
they owe allegiance to the governor instead of to upholding the Constitution of the United States. They're politicians. We don't need politicians for policemen.
No,
we need
people
that are going to serve and protect.
We do, brother. We do. Glenn, come on in, then Randy.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor, for coming on this morning and the fight that you're standing up for righteousness. My question is, well, just two questions. First of all, does the conference call that you face later this morning, what kind of implications may that have? And secondly, does the case that of the church who won against Governor Newsom out in California have any influence on your case?
Great question, Glenn. Are you aware of that? You're aware of that, right, Pastor Tony, that Governor Newsom lost?
Liberty Council. We're in touch with Liberty Council. So $1.35 million that Gavin Newsom has to pay. Of course, they're bankrupt already. You can do what Joe Biden does and just write a $40 trillion check. Yeah. But it's rubber. It bounces. But the point is, this morning, after I called this judge's name yesterday in church and we prayed against them, they throw this emergency status conference this morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard. So she wants a status of what we're going to do about the writ of denial from these three Republican judges in the First Circuit Court of Appeal. We are appealing to the Louisiana Supreme Court. It's costing us another $5,000 or so. So they're bleeding us financially.
Sure.
They're making us pay with time. I'm still under arrest. I'm still out on bail. They have thousands of our dollars, which is God's money, by the way.
Amen.
They're gonna be cursed for touching God's money. So this morning, my attorney told the judge he's not going to appear before you because the bailiff's required to wear a mask to go through the door.
That's good. Hey, by the way, Pastor Tony, that's one of the things that's great. You got in trouble because they called you to court and you wouldn't go because you wouldn't put on a mask. Is that true?
And this morning's the same thing. So they're threatening me with arrest, strapping the mask to my face to stand before this judge. That's the only way they're going to do this. I'm not going to bow. People in my church have been fired from their jobs because we're not a part of that religion, the maskers, you know. This is absurd.
It's absurd. It's
Amen.
Absurd. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, I just want to say what a privilege we get to participate with Amen. God. We get to participate with yep. what he's doing. And, Coach, he is luring in the enemy. I am telling you, I see it as plain as day, Tony. He chose you out of very few. He had very few to choose from, so that's why he picked you. But he is trying to show this nation and the world what the real church is going to look like going forward. And I think, I don't know how this will end, and I really don't care, because if he says to go to the Supreme Court, this will be the God taking us forward down that path. So, Tony, hang in there, brother. I know we'll come up with money if you need it. It's going to happen. God's raising up something bigger than we even know.
Amen.
Thank you, Randy.
And Pastor Tony, I hate to tell you, we've done this before, brother. I got some video I was going to show when we were down with Judge Roy Moore, and this may not mean a lot to you, but it does to me. That's where I met John Diamond, Flip Benham, Rusty. I met some of the heroes of the faith down there in 2003. And Pastor Tony, the boys are back in town. They're all coming back again, brother. And
when you get to New Orleans, there's Gavin Newsom, and then there's Cuomo level of absurdity. When you get to New Orleans with JBE, the King of Tyranny, and Mayor LaToya, the Destroyer, these people are wicked evil.
Amen, brother.
I'm talking about when we get there, it's going to be nasty because these people, number one, they hate God.
Amen.
And when people show up in force who are God-fearing Americans, they hate that even more.
Amen.
Okay, they gnashed on Stephen with their teeth in Acts 8. They hated him. They stoned him because he spoke the truth. That's what New Orleans is. So,
amen. And we got our man on the ground, Dale. And Dale, without giving away any of our secrets, have we been able to secure permits for the park there, brother? Have we been able to do that?
Coach, I'm not even going to go there, brother. It's ridiculous. You know, I've had this surgery. We went down there, and I've talked with Brother Bill Shanks, who Tony, I know, has been in contact has talked with. He's one of the few people that I know that has been arrested more than you. All right. This is, and we have it. And if I may read it, maybe for our listeners, and a lot of things, maybe we don't catch it, how important when we look at the Constitution, which derives its power from the Bible, it doesn't just say Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion. It goes on to say there's no period. It says, or the prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now,
amen.
Tony, I want to say this is so prophetic, brother. I can't imagine as a person and as a pastor, and as my wife says, as, you know, as a woman, what you're facing, what you're going through, what your family is going through, brother, because here it's nice. It's good. We're talking about it. But brother, there's an internal thing there that this is something that you truly face. What did Donald Trump say? He says, they're not coming after me. They're coming after you, Tony.
Right.
They're not coming after you.
Right.
They're coming after us.
They're coming and after the church.
I want to share this last thing, brother. I'm just, the other night I was laying in bed, 2 o'clock in the morning, I wake up, and this is, you know, what is it the governor said? He looked at Tony Spell and he looked at the church. I didn't close my church not once. And I guess because I'm too small to bother with. But he said that the churches were non-essential. I say this, Coach, brother. We said the church became non-essential long before the governor declared it non-essential, because we have been playing church, not being church. And then the next thing is why is it Home Depot? Why is Home Depot has been open the entire time? Why is Lowe's been open the entire time? You know what the Lord showed me? He says, because they build their houses on sinking sand. That's why it became essential. These people have been building their houses on sinking sand.
Amen, Dale. And as you're saying that, Pastor Tony, let me encourage you. I just pulled up Patrick Henry's Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech. Folks, we're already at war. Here's what Patrick Henry said. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Pastor Tony's already at war. Why stand we here idle? Why is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear, peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take. But as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Folks, we are there again. The war has already begun. We don't get it. Gary, come on in. Gary Dunlap. Hang on a second.
Yeah, I'd just like to ask a question. And this is regards some of the people, Pastor Tony, at your church have lost their jobs. I hope some of them are planning on suing their former employers for that, because that's obviously way out of bounds. They have no right to do that.
That's right. Yes, we're bringing lawsuit, and most of them are struggling financially. So the church is helping with that. We're helping facilitate those lawsuits. So, oh, yes, we're going to make them pay.
Pastor Tony, what about the holier than thou crowd that will say, brother, we're not supposed to sue?
What I say to them is, don't take a scripture out of context, number one, but that's, that's the same people that said you should have just complied.
Yes, same crowd.
Daniel, if you would have just stopped praying, you wouldn't be in the den of lions.
Yes, sir.
Well, yeah, it's simple to say. If Rosa Parks had just given up her seat, she wouldn't have been put in prison.
If George Floyd would have just sat in the police car, we wouldn't be in this mess, right?
That's it. Yes, they are bringing up litigation. Coach, I do have to go. We've got to book it to the 19th JDC. I've got to be there early, but I thank you for having me on this morning. I look forward to seeing y'all in 5 days.
We're praying for you, Pastor Tony, and we will be there in 5 days, and may they come from the highways and the byways to stand with you, brother. Appreciate you.
God bless y'all. God bless America.
Thanks for joining us, brother.
Thank you.
And I'll see you tonight, Tony. I'll be the one with the walker.
Amen. Bless you. Hey, Spence, if you can, throw back up those three judges. We can pray those in precatory psalms over those three judges. I know some of you wanted to ask him a question. Vinny, you can come on in. Here we got Judge Jacques L. Wiener. Jr. He's a junior wiener. Jennifer Walker Elrod and Stephen A. Higginson. I'm sure they're unbiased. I'm sure that they're good, conservative, unbiased, that will give him a very, very fair, because even right now we know that nefariously they're looking for what? They're looking for, what do they call that? They're looking for loopholes. They're looking for loopholes, doing everything they can in the penumbras of the Constitution, right? We know they're doing. So pray, folks. Pray for them. Jacques Wiener Jr., Jennifer Elrod, and Stephen Higginson. Pray for them. Come on in there, Vinny. Well, if you want.
Coach, let me listen, brother. I don't mean to butt in. And, of course, Vinny, of course, brother, in my spirit, I didn't ask to host your event. I didn't ask to be part of what's going on with Tony Spell. Brother, this is – brother, I don't go around – you know me. I don't go around saying, thus saith the Lord. You know me. But, brother, the Lord showed me this morning. We have been talking and saying, how many times you heard me, Coach, you're over the target. Coach, you're over the target. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. The bomb doors are open. The bomb doors are open. Not only are you over the target, the bomb doors are open.
Amen, boys. Amen, boys. We're at it. Come on in, Vinny, then Glenn, then Larry.
Just real quick, the cowardly flee where men go boldly forth, and we are beset by wicked men.
We are. We are.
Controlled by principalities and powers.
Amen. Hey, if you could, real quick, Spence, put that First Amendment back up there, folks. Don't let them lie to you. Don't let them lie to you. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Hey, friends, there ain't no two ways around. Any law repugnant to the Constitution is null and void. So if a law repugnant to the Constitution is null and void, what about a governor's edict? What about a health mandate? Wake up, will you? Wake the hell up.
I want to throw in also Marbury versus Madison. All laws are repugnant.
All laws repugnant to the Constitution are null and void. They're not a law. Folks, first of all, are they not laws? This wasn't a law to begin with. It was never a law. Come on in, Larry, then Kevin, then Rochelle.
Yeah, you know, earlier somebody mentioned that, what do you say about the Christians that say that you shouldn't sue people or something like that? You shouldn't take things to court.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, Christians, real Christians, would not say that because they wouldn't be so stupid as to say that. And us referring to the people that say that as Christians is building their case for them. Those are satanic followers pretending to be Christians that say that.
Larry, they think they're Christians.
But yeah, that's my point. They think they're Christians. When we refer to them as Christians, we reinforce their status as Christians. Let us stop doing so.
Come on in, Kevin.
A week from today, we're going to let them bombs fly.
We are. Now, listen, the FBI's listening, all right? No, we're not going to bomb anybody. No, we're not going to bomb the courthouse. No, we're not going to bomb any cars. We're talking about spiritual bombs. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered, right? Let God arise. Let God be truth and every man a liar. That's what it says. And we're going to be there in support of Pastor Tony. Go ahead. And we expect
the Lord. Prayers and spiritual warfare.
Folks, the spiritual warfare is right up there already. The judges are up there. Now, if you have not written down their names so that you can pray for them and against that wicked spirit, how hard is that? Write those names down and pray against it for them all week. Come on in, Rochelle, then Craig.
Thanks. I was, Larry had mentioned something earlier, so I'm just a little unclear. So even at this stage, the court could still at some point say, I'm not going to, lack of standing or whatever, just to not judge this case on Monday.
They could. I don't think they will. Okay. Although I got to tell you something. See, this has to go to court somewhere, right? This has to go. So they can't just dismiss it. This case has to go to court somewhere. So I think they're going to have to hear it. I'm telling you, they're scrambling because they know. See, any judge knows that the government can't give an order. Like any judge knows this, right? So they're twixt in between because not only do they have to make the decision, but they know some of us are showing up and they don't like that.
And as far as not suing, I think that means not suing other Christians who are willing to make things right on their own.
That's right.
Well, the paper trail of this case is that it's already gone to the Supreme Court. That's why it was kicked down. It was supposed to be in Dallas, Texas. Somehow or another, this case, Spell versus Edwards, hit the tables of the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said because it did not follow the river of courts, it was supposed to be heard in the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. There it must have a decision whether to be appealed once again to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, so they can't just say no. They just can't say no hearing. They can't do that. Come on in, guy. Let's see. Craig and then Randy. Go ahead, Craig. Good catch this morning, by the way, Craig. Good catch on that.
Well, here's another pitch that we talked about in after show or pre-show. Next Monday is June 7th. Yeah. We just celebrated Memorial Day, right? Look at the valor and the cost of those people that those doors dropped. And those first got mowed down. Those first groups got mowed down. And we're going to be there on June 7th. So we might not be storming the beach.
You tell them, Craig, what was June 7th, brother?
It's D-Day. We might not be storming the beach of Normandy, but we might be pushing on the gates of hell.
Those of you who love numbers, Steve Deck, there you go, brother. June 7th. That's where we're going to be. Wow.
Amen.
Wow. Another good catch here, Craig. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, Craig's right. He's all over this. And I'm telling you, Coach, remember we come back from D.C. and then 33, the number 33, how much it was a witness to us.
Yeah,
so what I'm saying is, Coach, God is trying to show us he has a hook in the jaw of these dark people. Okay, he is working on both ends. He's telling us, hey, you want to be part of what I'm doing? Go to New Orleans. And even if this didn't give the court, they threw it out, Coach, or whatever happens, we're still down there together.
Oh, we're going to be down. That's right. We're going to be down there no matter what, man.
God's putting together a coalition here for future. It's not just about that date. It's not just about that court case. This is a future group that God is putting together to see this stuff through.
Amen.
God's always working on both ends. We have to understand that.
Amen. Hey, Roger, real quickly, Roger, what's the significance of this? Well, how can the court say, we're not going to hear it? Can they now give a status and say, I guess we're not going to hear this? He's trying to unmute there. Bear with us a second. You're still muted, bud. Sorry. I say no. When he gets, I only got a couple minutes left here, Roger. Not trying to kick you in the shin there. Folks, again, if you can make it down there, if you can make it.
Well,
go ahead, Roger.
Late in the game, the the panel controls the day. That's always the worry that you show up and the court decides to move things on. But I think you'll hear before the day of. I think if it's on the docket that morning, it's going to go forward. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if a hearing would be pushed. But that doesn't mean that we don't go down and do what needs to be done.
What's a status hearing, Roger? What does that mean?
Well, it's like a status hearing is to kind of just see where things are. We get all the parties together, kind of see what the game plan is.
By the way, Roger, I forgot to say this. Folks, you know they already offered him an out-of-court settlement. Did you guys know that? This could have all gone away. All he had to do was plead guilty to something, get a slap on the wrist and $150. They already offered it. They already offered the guy an out-of-court settlement. And he said, no, I'm riding this horse all the way through the gate. So
hey, Coach.
Yes.
That was the night before that I talked to him. I gave him the word that Flip Benham gave when Moses stood before Pharaoh. And he told the DA, not one hoof. The DA looked at him like, what the heck are you talking about? Not one hoof is going to remain in Egypt. There is no Faustian deal.
Amen, brother. Amen. Hey, folks, we're out of time. Share this, will you? Because, you know, most of America, I did a Google search. I couldn't find anything about the hearing. Couldn't find anything anywhere. June 7th and 8th. We're going to be there. We know who to pray for. We know what to pray for. And let's not let our brother down. Let's be there and show good. Let's cover him in prayer, and let's cover him personally. God bless you all, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.